As we read Acts during the Easter season, we also read John. And our lesson today comes from the 14th chapter of John, beginning with the 23rd verse. We miss the question, which is given by Judas, not Iscariot, who says, "Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world?" And then what we hear is Jesus' answer, which goes like this. Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." May we be blessed in the hearing of this word. Years ago, John Lennon wrote a song with some rather fancy musical dynamics, but some pretty straightforward words. The essential message was, all you need is love. Now, I won't sing it for you, though as I read the words, I bet you'll sing it in your heads because I have the whole time that I worked on this piece. But here are the words. And interestingly enough, it starts out with love 9 times. Which, of course, if you're into numerology, 3 times 3, perfect number, all that good stuff. Love, 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 love. There's nothing you can do that can't be done, nothing you can sing that can't be sung. Nothing you can say, but you can learn how to play the game, it's easy. There's nothing you can make that can't be made, no one you can save that can't be saved. Nothing you can do, but you can learn how to be you in time, it's easy. All you need is love. All you need is love. All you need is love. Love, love is all you need. Love, 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 love. All you need is love. All you need is love. All you need is love. Love, love is all you need. It always sounds better to music, doesn't it? There's nothing you can know that isn't known, nothing you can see that isn't shown, nowhere you can be that isn't where you're meant to be. It's easy. All you need is love. All you need is love. All you need is love. Love, love is all you need. All you need is love. All together now. All you need is love. Everybody. All you need is love. Love. Love is all you need. Now, I'm not sure if John Lennon realized it, but he was essentially singing what Jesus taught and lived. John records, the Gospel John, records Jesus saying, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words." Now, what is being said here is that the essence of Christian faith is not about theological niceties. I know you're shocked to hear me say that. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not to be concerned about them. But that's not the essence. Rather, the truest theology is going to be lived out. Those who get what Jesus is teaching will live it out. God rest him, but John Lennon sang a good game, but he didn't live out the essence of love. Because it's not that easy. That's where the words are wrong. It's not easy. Love that transforms, love that abides, love that is consistent, even when the one we're trying to love isn't consistent, that kind of love is very hard. That kind of love is also accountable. That kind of love is also responsible. And Jesus taught that kind of love, and more importantly, he lived it. He lived it right to the cross and through the resurrection. He loved us so that we might know in a tangible way how much we are loved and how much we are to love in turn. It will do, that love, all that the song talks about, but it isn't easy. It's work, and it's work that has to be done every day. Jesus talks about he and the Father making their home with those who are living in this love. Jesus elsewhere will talk about abiding in him and in his love. When we live as we're called to live, we'll be at home. We'll be comfortable in the everyday, ordinary showing of who God is by being who we are. That's the point. Where we are at home, we are comfortable. You know, for a number of years, every morning I got up and I put on a garment that was called a habit. Okay? And it was not just because it was as big as a house to cover me, but it was because that's reminded me, as I put that on every day, who I was and whose I was. And in the same way, we think about it. Habitat, okay, is where we live. A habit is the way in which we get into patterns of living. And that's where we dwell. That's where we make our home. And that's supposed to be the love of God. That's the essence of that. And so what happens is that Jesus essentially invites us to share in the community that is the Trinity, to make our home with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Augustine spoke of it this way in one of his tractates on the Gospel of John, Tractate 76. He wrote, "The saints are distinguished from the world by that love which maketh the one-minded, unanimes, to dwell together in a house. In this house, Father and Son make their abode and impart that very love to those whom they shall also honor at last with this promised self-manifestation, of which the disciple questioned his master, that not only those who that listened might learn it from his own lips, but we also from his gospel. For he had made inquiry about the manifestation in Christ and heard in reply about his loving and abiding." You and I, we are supposed to become the very dwelling place of God. And when the church, which is God's family, God's community, is gathered as it is on this morning for worship, then the community is made real and is made manifest to the whole world. And here, among us, this is where people should know that they can find that love is all that you need. How sad that we as Christians too often fall short. But that's that love again. It's there lifting us up, holding out to us the promise of forgiveness, the promise of transformation, the promise of renewal and of real change. We can learn how to be you in time. It's not easy, but all we need is love. I came across another way of expressing this reality in a story by the Roman Catholic priest, socialist, sociologist, and novelist Andrew Greeley. I don't know if he is a socialist, but I do know he's never had an unpublished thought. And Greeley told this story, which was pretty good. He said, "Once upon a time, back in the last century, there was a young woman from Ireland who had lost her parents and all her family. Some kind people wrote to their relatives in America and said, 'We have this 14-year-old orphan here who's very bright and very pretty and very hardworking. We don't want her to go to the orphanage because she won't have any opportunities there to develop her talents. Would you ever consider hiring her as a servant girl? You'd have to pay her way over on the boat, but she'll work for nothing until she earns her fare. You won't go wrong with her.' So the Americans, who could afford a serving girl but never had one and weren't altogether sure what they would do with such a person, talked about it and said, 'Well, what have we to lose?' So they sent the fare for the boat and the train, and then they waited for the young woman to come. She sailed from Kinsale. The last she saw of Ireland were the twin spires of the church as they faded into the background. Weeks later, sick and thin and exhausted, she arrived in the city where her new master and mistress lived. They took one look at the poor child and said, 'Dear, we don't need a servant, but we've got room for another daughter.' And when they brought her home, the other children hugged her and said, 'Hooray, we have another sister.' And with their help, she grew up to go to college and university and became very successful. And she was a great credit to those who took her into their family." The Trinity, Greeley says, is a family into which God has invited us. Jesus came among us to invite us into the family, to say to us, "Be at home with us," and to open us to the wonder of what we were created to be, to come to that, to accept that invitation, to be made truly in the image and likeness of God. Well, love is all you need. It is not inappropriate to talk about this abiding and this homemaking as we celebrate and honor mothers today. Lydia, who could be a good example for modern working moms, who, by the way, did very well if she was a dealer in purple, showed us the difference that can be made when we open our hearts to God. Mothers put up with a lot. God knows you do. But that love and desire to make a home keeps the door open. Love can find a home, and love can make a home in us. And then that same love can make a difference. Perhaps that's why there are so many medieval texts, and I could have spent an entire day talking to you about those, including the showings of Julian of Norwich that talk about Jesus as mother. Okay? That's because God is not only our father, but God is our mother and God is our brother. God is our family. So today, celebrate love that has built many a home and changed many a life. Love that is unselfish and self-giving and open-hearted. That kind of love is all we need. It's offered to us freely by the God who is father and mother and family to us, if we will but respond and learn to be who we really are. Love is all we need. All together now, everybody, all we need is love. Amen.
Songs are